All right, let's do this. I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast. And today, we're going to talk about games that we play. If you haven't figured out that we're total gamer nerds by now, you should go watch more podcasts. You can find them on this channel, or over here, or over there. There's one over here. Seriously. I mean, they're kind of fun. You should check them out. And also, we're total dorks.
Yeah. But I don't know. I've come to realize, seeing nerds online, that I'm not as nerdy as I thought I was. I don't know.
Maybe, we'll work on it.
Maybe we'll
workshop it.
With a more
get you some ponies.
Yeah, with a more global perspective, I realize that I'm actually not as nerdy. I don't have as many facts stored in my head about X or Y series, and I haven't played all the games in something.
Dorking at it. It's okay.
I don't know.
It's okay.
We'll work on it, though.
Oh, but, yeah, Icebreaker, because Icebreaker. What is the favorite game you played in the last year?
So, my favorite game played in the last year, but I don't remember if it was released, I think, in 2012, but, is Borderlands 2. I started playing it before I got my own Xbox. I was playing it on my roommates, but I played it so that in the second year of headshots, I wouldn't look like an idiot on camera by trying to talk about what was going on in the game, having never played the game myself. So I fixed that problem by by playing it. And then after, I didn't get all the way through it before headshots finished, but I played it out afterwards. And I find now that it is the game that I benchmark all the other games that I play against.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily the most perfect game. I don't know what is, but I don't have an answer for that. But I got a lot of time put into that game, you know, 60, 80 hours of gameplay. Now I'm not a really good gamer, so I do fall victim to a lot of traps and stupid strategies, but I put a lot of time into that game, invested a lot in all the side missions. The story was great, animation was great. I found the difficulty level to be fairly appropriate. And it was a compelling game too. Like, it was gun porn, but it was gun porn with a good story behind it. And so I just really enjoyed that. Now when I play other games, I typically will measure it in some way again. So for example, when I got my 360 for Christmas, my girlfriend's brother bought me BioShock Infinite. And he's like, this is a great game, and it was rated Game of the Year last year, and I played it, and it was a fantastic game. It was, the story was great, the mechanics were great, I found the animation to be beautiful. The only complaint I had was it was perhaps a little short, because Borderlands was so long, by comparison.
Borderlands 2 was really long.
It was a really long, every time I thought we were getting close to killing Jack, no, there was more game to be played, so... So I would say that is probably my favorite game I've played in the last year. Hmm. What about you, Jim?
I have played a lot of games in a year. I play a lot of games in a year. I mean, I've been playing Fear. I've been playing Feed the Beast. I beat Tomb Raider. I finished Darksiders, and I started playing Darksiders 2. I clocked, by the time this podcast comes out, I do not know how many hours I will have clocked in Skyrim, but I will tell you it has been a lot, and I have a lot of mods that just add hours to that game in a way that is really fun. But Skyrim is close, but Skyrim isn't fun because it's fun. Skyrim is fun because I make it fun. Like, I have to have an internal narrative in order to enjoy it. If I don't have a story that I'm telling about this world, it's just boring. But a game that told me a really good story was Far Cry 3. Which I finally got and played in early 2013, late 2013. Because, especially to contrast it with the new Tomb Raider that came out, it's Far Cry 3. In Tomb Raider, you are Lara Croft, like scared, vulnerable Lara Croft. And I will tell you that it's a super fun game. I loved it. It's gruesome in some spots. And for me to think that it's gruesome, it's got to be pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But scared Lara Croft gets old after I've shot like 300 guys in the face.
Yeah.
Like, the notion that she is still frightened when coming under enemy fire is sort of ridiculous. Like, at this point, I have killed more people than any hardened combat veteran in the world. Like, that is insane. Whereas in Far Cry 3, you embrace that transition. In the first part of the game, the good part of the game, you know, your friends are kidnapped, and you have to rescue them, and you have to steal yourself and become part of the jungle to rescue them. And you can see yourself and your attitudes changing. And you can see it in your friends' reactions to you. When I finally rescued my girlfriend, and she's an actress or she's a producer or something like that. It's been it was early 2013, so it's been a while. But she says, yeah, now I can get you that studio job and we can just go home and forget all about this. I'm like, I shot 3 men through the heart today from 50 yards. I got my brother's girlfriend to drive a Jeep away from a burning temple while I fended off other Jeeps with a grenade launcher. I am fundamentally not the same person that you left. I cannot leave this place because it is me. Mm-hmm. And that, the fact that the game just embraced that and just reacted to that. So, I mean, because usually in games like Borderlands or Bulletstorm or Tomb Raider, you just kill people and you don't think about it. And in Far Cry 3, you still don't think about it because it's basically a bow hunting simulator that lets you hunt people. Mm. Which is, as weird as that sounds, is really fun. Also tigers. Oh my god, tigers. But I like how it reacts to it, and it shows that killing people has changed you. But that unfortunately is only the first half of the game, and then I got sexually assaulted by a shaman lady and caught up in a drama with her and her brother that I did not care about at all. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at this point where I cannot wait to get off this island just so I can get away from all the people who live here or murder them. Seriously, my Far Cry 3 character is like the Beethoven of murder.
Don't think I've ever heard that analogy before.
He's really good at it, and he's entirely deaf to screams of mercy.
All right, I see the connection.
I mean, every time somebody's like, oh, what are we going to do about this threat? I'm like, it's cool, I'll go kill them. They're like, you can't just go kill them.
I got this.
Bro. It's cool, guys. Trust me. Yeah, but that is probably, as weird as it sounds, my favorite game, only because I played Spec Ops and Thomas Was Alone in 2012, and those were definitely in my top 5 favorite games. They were so good. Feed the Beast, oh my god, so addicted. But yeah, definitely Far Cry 3. Weirdly, I didn't think that would come out on top. So what are you playing now?
So right now, I had started a second playthrough of Borderlands 2.
Playing what? What class?
So the first time I played through is El Salvador,
the Gunzerker.
Not El Salvador.
That's a country.
Yeah, Salvador, the Gunzerker. Mostly because I'm fairly middle of the road, mediocre at games. So in terms of a lot of finesse and combat strategy, I don't have that. But I'm really good at running in and being a meat shield. My roommate and I used to play a lot of the Arkham Lego games. Because I'm going to talk about Arkham in a second. We played a lot of the Lego games, and it would be late at night, or Marvel Alliance.
Yeah.
And so I'd be sitting there playing late at night, and I'd fall asleep, and my character would be running across the screen, then just like in the corner, and he'd be like, "Dude, it's just because I'm fighting." Right? I was really, really bad. Like I would just fall asleep randomly playing games and just die. Castle Crashes was another one I was really bad for at that. He would rack up so many kill counts, just like, he was better at it than me, but just because I would fall asleep, and so he'd take care
of this is why you can't play for headshots. You just fall asleep.
No. Well,
can't have that.
Oddly enough, though, now I'm playing through as Zero. Nice. So it's all headshots for me, because I oddly enough played Salvador with a sniper rifle for some reason. I did a lot of long distance sniping and then finished up close if I had to, so really weird for a Gunzerker. No spray and pray when you're doing it with a sniper. So now I'm playing, I started with a sniper, but anyway, so I started playing that, And then, sadly, Harold Ramis died, so I felt nostalgic, and I picked up the Ghostbusters game for Xbox. And then my friend lent me Arkham City because I enjoyed Arkham Asylum, the Batman game, so much. So that's what I'm playing now. And I'm just enjoying the hell out of that game. I enjoyed Arkham Asylum, but again, it suffered from what I perceived to be a fairly short, like it was a medium length game. It wasn't a super short game, but it was no Borderlands in terms of it. So I felt that the game was amazing, but you leveled up almost too quickly, or you capped out Batman's abilities too quickly, and then the game resolved itself with your final confrontation against the Joker. But I loved everything about the game. So, and then Arkham City was released, and it was released to really like critical acclaim.
Oh yeah.
At the time I didn't have my own Xbox, but also I like waiting for the games to come down. So when they're released as the Platinum series or whatever, and I'll pick them up or I'll buy them, used. So a friend lent me Arkham City, and I've been logging whatever time I do sit down, cause I usually only get game time on the weekends. Whatever time I do sit down and play it, it's just amazing. I like the fact that unlike Arkham Asylum, you don't start off with nothing. In this game, you almost start off with every single piece of hardware and whatnot and moves that you had in the first game. Mm-hmm. You have to pick up a lot of, like, some of your equipment as you go along, but all of your takedown moves and stuff are already pre-awarded to you at the beginning of the game. Because obviously, with the storyline, you go in as Bruce Wayne, then you call in your bat suit. So yes, you don't have all of your equipment available. So there is that level of it. But there's a lot more leveling up, or at least a lot more ability development, skill tree development. I enjoy that it's now an open map. It's no longer a completely.
I feel bad.
In what way?
When I played Arkham City. I love it. Like, we did a video on that months ago. Other Ryan and I did a video on that. We talked about tabletop concepts in there, and one of the things we love about it is that even right from the beginning you feel like Batman.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're this person that's gonna later be Batman. You're Batman right now.
Yeah.
You know, 10 guys are like, well, unfortunately, you should have brought more guys. But I started feeling bad about midway through the game when I realized that Arkham City is essentially a jail.
Yeah.
So these criminals are in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as Batman, swoop in to what is essentially their jail cell and beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't committing crimes. They're not doing anything wrong.
Well, some of them are. I
find guys doing push-ups. I swoop down. I'm like, hey, you look like you're exercising. I'll exercise you.
But that's only because they attack you. Because there are people, when you go into the really rundown sections of it.
Yeah, like the political prisoners and...
No, I'm just talking about like the homeless people. There are... Well, I don't know. Maybe those are political prisoners that then congregate in this area when you leave. But I found an area, it was like a slum city. And these people had absolutely no interaction with you. They were just there minding their own business. They weren't allied with the Joker or Penguin or Two-Face or any of the other factions that are going on in this city. So,
but,
I mean, there are some...
Well, certainly, but I feel like it is an understandable... As a criminal in Gotham, it is an understandable reaction to, upon seeing Batman, to pick up a pipe and attempt to brain him.
See, I would take the other stance of, hey, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're a big burly dude, and you're hanging out in the Arkham Street and you're doing whatever, I mean, maybe you're just hanging out with your pipe, or your knife, or your taser, or your assault rifle, or you're just doing push-ups, or playing basketball, or kicking a soccer ball around, like you're. And then Batman swoops in. Like, Batman is already in ass-whooping mode.
Yeah.
Batman's, his default setting is whoop your ass. So, I mean, at that point, I consider them to be acting in self-defense from me. Especially since they're aware that Batman has been swooping around the city, beating up random groups of criminals, because they were vaguely in the way of something that I wanted.
Yeah, I would only feel bad for
them. Or it was hilarious.
I only feel bad for them when you catch snippets of their conversations and you realize that they're only doing, like, they're only wanting to attack you because Joker, whoever's going to hurt them or hurt their family.
He's like, we've got bomb colors on. This is crazy. Let's get them. And I'm like, sorry, guys.
Yeah. But, unlike Far Cry 3, Batman hasn't killed anybody. If you notice, whenever you defeat enemies and you turn on your detective mode, they're all unconscious.
I know. But at the same time,
they might as well be dead.
I'm pretty sure I kicked a guy off a building once. Wow. I'm pretty sure I drop kicked him into the bay.
Well, you can swim.
I'm just like, I'm not convinced is all I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, maybe there's some questionable stuff. But anyways, to get back to the point, I love the fact that it's an open concept. There's still a linear story that you have to follow, but it's a lot easier to go off on side missions and swoop around because they have all of these side quests like tracking Zaz through the tele-network, like finding the Riddler trophies, which are 10 times, 100 times more of them now than there were in Arkham Asylum. Hunting down Deadshot. Teaming up with Bane for the Titan chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Just the augmented...
The Mad Hatter stuff.
I haven't reached that part of it
yet. I found it. We found it in the video. I'd never done it before, but Ryan had. The thing I really like about the Riddler stuff in Arkham City was that there were hostages at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could see, because in Arkham Asylum, I saw my first Riddler trophy and I got the Riddler on my comlink and he's like, ha ha ha, Batman, I bet you can't solve my riddle and get my trophy. And I'm like, riddle me this. Why should I care? Yeah. Next.
Whereas now
he's like, where are you going?
Yeah, he only reveals all these hostages
when you've solved a bunch of riddles. And then he's like, now I'll reveal the hostages. Solve that.
Yeah.
Goddamn, now I gotta go and do a thing.
Yeah. So I really enjoy that. There's more weapons upgrades and it's more creative. You have more opportunities to figure out different ways of taking villains down. Like, for example, I just finished the Freeze fight, where you fight Freeze after you give him the stuff from Ra's al Ghul to synthesize a cure. And I like the fact that they've built it so that the AI won't allow you to use the same takedown on him more than once.
Hmm.
Once you take it down, he'll protect himself against those
things. Yeah, he'll adapt. Learns.
So I enjoyed that side of it. Especially because once you analyzed his suit, it gives you some 16 different opportunities, like 16 different weaknesses in his armor that allows you to exploit it to beat him. And so, I mean, if you goof up on one of them, then you can't use it again. So, for example, I inadvertently shut down his freeze gun because I figured, oh, that was going to be one of the things I do. And then I analyzed the suit and realized that if I do it once, he's going to just modulate his weapon so it won't be vulnerable to that attack anymore.
Huh.
So I enjoyed that side, or at least that flourish of the game. It's with Kevin Conroy being Batman's voice, you just feel like you're walking around as Batman.
Every time a Batman movie comes out, somewhere on my Facebook appears a thread. It's a poll that someone put up. And it says, who is the real Batman? It has Adam West and Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer and George Clooney and Christian Bale. And I always type the same thing. Kevin Conroy is the real Batman.
You know who actually isn't bad from what I've heard, the limited stuff, is Diedrich... what's his last name? But he was in the Drew Carey show as one of the friends. He played Jethro in the Beverly Hills Billies
movie.
I think Batman.
IMDb link down below.
Yeah, in Batman Brave and the Bold, he plays Batman in that one.
Oh, okay.
And then Will Arnett in the Lego movie, I hear, is really good as Batman.
Yes.
So, I mean, there are...
There are other people can... Well, and Kevin Conroy, I know Mark Hamill is not, I don't think, reprising his role as the Joker anymore. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Conroy has been being Batman for, like, 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is the definitive voice of Batman. I mean, I guess the definitive portrayal, because once you got out of the goofy 60s or so with Adam West, and you got into, say, Neil Adams... And then you got a little bit of a dark turn with Frank Miller in the comics. But Batman went from being kind of goofy and campy to a lot more detective to super dark and brooding with the, you know, bronze era of comics. But he's thankfully been rescued from that and is a little bit more of the badass detective. But Kevin Conroy's portrayal all the way through has been this definitive look at Batman.
Well, and he's strong, he's fatherly, he's different from Bruce Wayne. He's not angry all the time.
But he can be intimidating.
But he can still be intimidating. He doesn't have a horrible throat infection that needs to be looked at. I will admit that it's a lot easier to qualify that. I don't know that it's a lot easier to just voice a role rather than to play a role in the way that a traditional actor does, but it seems less involved. I mean, I know every time I make fun of Christian Bale's bat voice, I feel a little bad because I know that from accounts, he is a person who takes his craft really seriously.
Yeah.
And that bat voice is the result of like hours and hours of painstaking effort.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked really hard on it. And so I feel slightly bad that I am making fun of a thing that he worked really hard on, in the same way that I would feel bad if Christian Bale made fun of something that I had made.
Mm.
But it is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the dissenting voice. Not that I liked it, but I...
You're all the dissenting voice!
I certainly appreciate what I think he was trying to do. Because, I mean, when you think about Superman, it almost seems like there's no effort to hide who he is. I mean...
His super hypnosis. Also glasses.
I know. My favorite was Frank Quigley and Grant Morrison when they discussed how... Who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the podcast.
When they would... draw the Superman, they would try to like change his body shape so that you know, he would hunch over and he would look less heroic. But without modulating the voice electronically, I could see why Bruce Wayne in the movies would choose to go completely gruff to mask who he is, to completely divorce himself from Bruce Wayne.
You just do a Clint Eastwood impression the whole time.
I guess you could do that. I don't know. It makes more sense to talk like this.
Oh my god, that's ridiculous.
Because then nobody's going to understand you.
No, no one's going to understand you at all. That's the problem. You're like...
But it doesn't matter.
What did you say? Did you say put down my guns or shoot you? I don't remember. This is the problem that people in Arkham City don't have, is they don't get to claim that, because Kevin Conroy is perfectly clear. But in lieu of this becoming our Batman episode...
I'm Batman. Swear to me!
Ryan is Batman.
All right, I'm Batman. See, I wanted to be a voice actor as a kid. I would have had fun.
You're doing a good job. We're going to get you to do some Batman later. That's going to be fun. Not later tonight. But no, I have been clocking tons and tons of hours. You want to talk about an open world game. I have been clocking tons and tons of hours in Skyrim. I rediscovered it like a couple weeks ago. And I'd been puttering around in it. And I established this internal narrative. Without an internal narrative, it's the whole game is worthless to me. I can't, because there's so many things I could do, I can't decide what I want to do, and there's so many places to go, and I didn't really, when I start, it's really hard to get in, because I don't understand the game very well, in terms of what skills are good, and what skills are not, and now that I've, you know, clocked, I don't know how many hours in it, I understand that every combat style is viable, and that, like, there's a lot of interesting trade-offs. But I had to come up with a story. Mm. And so I came up with my first character was a dual-wielding cell sword who didn't care about anyone and then eventually settled down with his shopkeeper wife. And my new character is an honorable Nord Smith who is occasionally called upon to be a warrior. And now he's found himself as the captain of this warband that I've assembled using some mods. And... like he's married to a Nord warrior, and they have an adopted daughter that they leave alone for far longer than is healthy as parents. They're really bad parents. And it's something that he's going to need to make some decisions about later tonight when I'm playing. But, and I already have my character, like my next character planned out for who I want them to be and what I want them to do. Cause there's so much, I haven't even finished the main quest.
Do you start, do you restart the game, or do you just pick a new character?
I just restart you restart the game. I even have a mod that lets me have alternate starts, so I don't have to do the beginning the same way every time.
Okay.
The other thing is the modding community. I use over 100 Skyrim mods. I mean, everything from stuff that improves the graphics to stuff that improves the follower system, improves the AI, improves the enemies. adds entire new functions to the game. One of my favorite mods, because it forces me to slow down, is Frostfall, which makes it so you can freeze to death. Like, because Skyrim is cold. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the north. It's the icy north. Mm-hmm. And so in with Frostfall, you have to protect yourself from the cold. And, you know, you can die from exposure. So if you spend, you know, a week and a half wandering in the freezing wilderness, you'd better bring a lot of firewood.
Yeah.
And you better bring a tent. And you'd better be wrapped up tight. Like, my Nord wears heavy armor, and he's got a big burly cloak, and he's always got his helmet on to keep mm-hmm. his face covered. And, you know, I'm always carrying my torch, or you know, I've got extra frost resistance gear so that I'm not, you know, just totally freezing my ass off. And I still I have come really close to freezing to death. Happily, it doesn't affect all my followers, but I wish it did, sort of, because, I mean, it would be unfortunate to have them just drop dead half the time, but it would be interesting. But I mean, I have them wearing cloaks too, and that kind of thing. But, yeah, just with that narrative, it's so fun. And like I said, I haven't finished one major quest line. Not one. I haven't finished the main quest. I haven't resolved the Civil War, partly because I accidentally bugged it out by preemptively terminating a fort full of jerks, it turns out. I'm almost done the Warriors Guild quests, and I'm excited for that. But I'm just doing things. I bought a house, and I remodeled my house. I built a house, and I got to understand the difference, because when my sellsword built his house, I got my steward to just furnish it. I was like, I don't care what you put there, just whatever. Mm-hmm. But I have been. I mean, my Nord, he's a smith. He wants to build things with his own two hands. So I've been building stuff out of boards and nails. And I took a whole, 3 hours off one day, and I just played townsfolk. I just had all my smithing stuff together, and I took off all my armor. I left it at home. My wife was there. My kid was there. And I wandered around, and I did blacksmithing stuff. Like, I'm still leveling skills and that. But I didn't have any weapons, mm-hmm. and I don't have any offensive spells. And there are random vampire and dragon attacks. So if I fight one, I have to run indoors and hide or die.
I'm surprised that you didn't say Minecraft was your favorite game, given how much you're doing in this game.
I have clocked a lot of hours in Minecraft, and I love Minecraft. But the thing with Minecraft is always me building a thing. Mm. It's always and it's always me building a thing alone. Even on our server... We tend to, because of the way that Feed the Beast, like, we just use tons and tons of resources, we tend to spread out. Mm. Like, our first act on the server is to, like, build a small co-op so people starting can survive. Our second act is to light off in random directions. To all, to points unknown, and to find a spot where that looks like a, like, watch the beginning of Minecraft videos. Yeah. Find a spot that looks like a cool place to build a house there. Done.
Yeah.
But... I mean, there's a whole world that reacts to me. And it doesn't just want to murder me. Sometimes it wants to make friends with me. Sometimes it wants me to get people to steal other people's stuff. Sometimes it wants me to cast spells and save things and fight dragons. And that is something that... Well, there's one dragon I can fight in Minecraft. But that is not something I get to do as much in Minecraft. I don't get to feel the world. I just get to build things.
Okay.
And... It's different, but it's not my favorite, and it's certainly not the thing that is occupying me right now. Minecraft is, I think, is also, it's, for me, it's less about building and more about designing.
Okay.
Like, if you've seen the videos, if you haven't, you can watch my Minecraft videos right there. There aren't very many of them yet, but there are going to be more. But the buildings are hideous. The things inside them, the designs, the manufacturing, that's the thing that I like. But... The buildings are hideous.
An architect you are not,
huh? No, I'm really not. I'm trying to learn. That's why I'm making videos. But I think that's where we should leave it for today. We're playing lots of games. We're definitely going to do some more like this, maybe next season.
Yeah, maybe. It's certainly nice.
But we were running late.
Break from the serious stuff. Yeah. So.
And as always, I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
I thought you were Batman.
I'm Batman.
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome. Bye.